Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. I'm thankful that we can sing praises to your name. I just pray now that as we get into your word and learn a little bit more about some of the things that we need in life to combat things like false teaching and answer questions that people may have or that we may have. I just pray that your name is glorified through all that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So basically, this morning what I'm starting with is I had a series of questions about false teachers and false teaching. So I'm going to answer some specific questions because obviously there's always like these like minute questions, these specific questions. So I'm going to answer some specific questions. But what I want to do is I want to give you a teaching that helps us identify false teachers, identify false teaching within the Christian church, because there is not only false teaching outside the Christian church, but there's also false teaching inside the Christian faith. And then what to do about false teaching and false teachers. So we're going to start with this. Who are false teachers and how do we identify them? Who are false teachers and how do we identify them? Now, it starts off with basically, as a rule of thumb, anyone that denies Jesus as God and is in a spiritual role of leadership or teaching in any religion, cult, or movement is considered a false teacher. Okay? That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? So that's basically looking out and saying, anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus is God in any religion, cult, or movement is considered a false teacher. Now, I could say that, right? But I didn't say that. God did. Okay, so in 1 John, it starts off and says this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So this is straight from God's word saying this is a true teacher. Someone that confesses that Jesus came in the flesh. So John is reminding them, if someone confesses Jesus as their Savior, they are believers. So how do you confess Jesus as your Savior? Well, it starts off with what? Admitting that we are a sinner. We are a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He's the one who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he's God, and the scriptures teach us that all who believe will have eternal life. So if we confess that Jesus is Lord, we are saved. But not only that, the person who confesses that Jesus is Lord and is teaching from God's word would be considered a solid biblical teacher in some senses. But he goes on and says this, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Now, there's false prophets and there's false teachers, and they're acting in the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice he does not say the Antichrist is in the world. He says the spirit of the Antichrist, because obviously this was written 2,000 years ago. So he's saying the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world because what they are teaching is just that, Antichrist. Okay, so all false teaching will point to being against Christ. Then he says this, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So now John here is talking about the Holy Spirit. The good news is because we have the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist, we actually have a huge advantage. Do you realize that? Because you have the Holy Spirit, you have a huge advantage. You see, when we have the Holy Spirit and we hear a teaching, the thought that comes into your mind that says, something doesn't sound right. Have you ever done that before? You hear a teaching, you read a book, you hear a podcast, you hear a message, somebody says something, you're like, something doesn't sound right. That is probably the Holy Spirit prompting you to start to investigate. At that point, you're wise to investigate by going to God's word and checking it out to see, is this a teaching from God's word? This is why the more we get into God's word, the easier it becomes to spot false teaching. Have you noticed that? The more you know about God's word, you hear false teaching. You're like, nope, false, nope, false, right? But if you don't know God's word, you hear something, you're like, that sounds good. And then you investigate and you're like, that's not good. This is extremely important because many times when we hear false teachings and get that prompting of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we don't investigate. Here's how it goes. There are various reasons why we don't investigate. One can be spiritual warfare going on. Satan and his demons don't want you to hear true teaching, don't want you to investigate. So, you know, other things will kind of come into play. You know, it's like, oh, I got busy, whatever it is. Another reason is we're lazy, right? We're just lazy, plain and simple. We're too lazy to actually just pick up our phone and search our Bible app or even Google and ask a question or go on a site like Got Questions, which I've talked about many, many times, and I'm actually going to quote later on in this sermon. But another reason that we might investigate is this, and this is a dangerous one. We might like the teacher. We might like the teacher. You have a pastor or an author or someone, a Christian speaker, that you just really like. And then they say something, and you're like, that doesn't sound right, but I really like them. They're a really nice person. They seem solid. See, without investigating, at that point, the teaching has the opportunity to take root in our lives. And here's what happens. It sends us in the direction of being off track. Now, you may be asking the question, how come false teachers can get a following? Okay, because there's many false teachers out there and many people follow them. And the way our world works is this. If a lot of people are following them, they must be right. Okay, that's what people think. John actually answers that question. Here's why people follow them. They're from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world. And the world listens. The reason they end up with many followers is because that's their team, okay? They all kind of travel together. They like what they're hearing. This person likes what they're saying, but they also, the people like what they're hearing. They have the same worldview. And when they hear something familiar, they hear something that they want to follow. Maybe it's a teaching that minimizes some sin they're involved in. So then they hear this teaching from this teacher that minimizes the sin they're involved in. Meanwhile, the other guy says, oh, that's a sin. I don't like that. But this guy says, oh, it's kind of a sin, or it's not a sin. I like that better. So they join that team and they follow after. We have to know that the spirit of the Antichrist isn't necessarily trying to convince people of something better. The spirit of the Antichrist is just trying to keep people from trusting in Christ. You understand that? They're not saying, oh, this is so much better. It's just, don't go that way. Don't follow Christ. Hey, I don't care what you follow. Just don't follow Jesus because he's the one that will save you. So John goes on and says this. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, why does John have the authority to say we are from God? Okay. That's an easy one for John, isn't it? Okay. He was with Jesus. He was one of them commissioned by Jesus. He was one of the 12. Remember, at the time that this was written, they were living the New Testament. Think about this. They couldn't go to the New Testament. They were living out the New Testament. So the authority at that time, in the early days, was in the apostles. The only biblical authority that they had were the Old Testament prophecies. So they had the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament prophecies about Christ. But they were the ones that were with Christ. So the apostles were actually the authority at that time. They were spokespeople for God. But today, the New Testament is written, and we believe there's no more being written, and the next event that will take place is Jesus' return. So we're in this church age, this kind of holding period where we're supposed to go and tell others. We have the full canon of the scriptures, and the scriptures are our authority right now. So the scriptures are our authority. So we rest in the fact that we have the scriptures, and they are sufficient for living this life and provide everything that we need to navigate this life. In fact, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, there's no need for people to be the authority when it comes to the things of the Lord. Now, that's controversial, right? Because we look at spiritual leaders. They're the authority. Well, no, the scriptures are the authority. Which brings us to the next point, and that is this. What is false teaching within the Christian faith? Okay, what is false teaching within the Christian faith? So, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. So Peter's talking to Christians. He's saying there's going to be false teachers within your camp who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So let's break this down a little bit. What happens when someone does confess that Jesus is Lord, but has really messed up, unbiblical, manipulative, and wrong teaching? Can we consider that person a false teacher? Of course we can. That's what Peter says. Of course we can. I would say yes. So breaking down this a little bit, Peter reminds the believers that sometimes the teachers will rise up from within. They'll secretly bring destructive heresies. They appeal to people's sensuality, telling them the things they like to hear, tickling their ears, basically. And they're motivated by greed. They're motivated by greed. Basically, Peter is saying these teachers aren't believers. They may say they are. They may act like they are, but they are not. John Stott, in his commentary on 2 Peter, says, we can assume that they were not true believers at all. Since Peter is saying destruction will come their way. Because we know that we can't lose our salvation, right? We know that we can't lose our salvation. So I did have a few specific questions because these teachings came under the guise of the Christian faith. Now, some of you might have never heard about some of these things. You can listen because you might hear about it. Some of them are gaining popularity. But one of the questions that came in was this. Are the teachings of the NAR dangerous? Now, has anybody ever heard of the NAR? Okay, well, it's called the New Apostolic Reformation. Now, I want to start with warning you. Any teaching that starts with new is probably going to be false teaching, okay? We don't need anything new because we have the wisdom from the Ancient of Days, right? We don't need the new. But anyway, the New Apostolic Reformation. I'm not going to go too deep into this movement because obviously many of you haven't heard about it, but for the people that did ask this question, the premise is this. There are modern-day apostles and prophets, which if we go back to what we just learned, the apostles have authority while the New Testament was being formed. So can you see how this can get very dangerous? If somebody's saying, I am a modern day apostle, what are they saying? I am an authority. You will listen to what I tell you. This is how false teaching takes root and grows. See, now we have biblical authority. We have the scriptures. So if there are people now saying they are apostles, they are actually saying, I have authority. That's a huge problem on two fronts. The first is they can't be an apostle by definition. Because some may ask, well, why can't they be an apostle? Well, by definition, in Acts 1, Peter said they needed a replacement for Judas. Some of you might remember this account. Judas was the apostle that betrayed. They needed a replacement for Judas. He cited a psalm, and then he said, here are the qualifications, and I'll read these to you. How did I get to here? Oh, I forgot to read that one, but we'll move on. So one of the men, this is when Peter was saying we needed an apostle. He says, so one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he had taken up from us, one of these men must become with us, a witness to his resurrection. Now, so basically, they're trying to pick another apostle, and they say, this man had to be, he had to witness Jesus' baptism, had to witness Jesus' ministry, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. So two men qualified for that, Joseph and Matthias. They prayed, they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So they picked him. I share this to say, no one today meets that qualification. Do you realize that? No one today can fill the role of an apostle because they didn't meet that qualification. They weren't with the Lord. So if you have people running around saying, I'm an apostle, they're not, okay? You can claim that you're that, but by definition, by the scriptures, which is what our authority, you're not that. So this is the only account that we have of apostles being added. Those that believe there are modern day apostles will cite this passage and say, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, yeah, I agree. That's what God did. And during this time, when the New Testament was being written, Paul said, and he gave apostles and prophets, right, to formation in the church, which we're going to get to the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So in the same text comes this other question. Are there modern-day prophets? Because some will say, I am a prophet. So some of you remember a few weeks I kind of flippantly said, if someone says to you, I'm a prophet, just say, no, you're not. We all chuckled. But I never really gave you the backup to tell you why you can say, no, you're not, okay? So let me explain why by reading you the biblically supported answer from Got Questions. Part of my whole reason for doing all these questions is not only to answer questions, but also teach you how to get questions answered because there's so many resources. So gotquestions.org, they have an app, they have a website, solid theology. I just want to read you what they say about modern day prophets. The gift of a prophet seems to have been a temporary gift given by Christ for the laying of the foundation of the church. Prophets were foundational to the church, Ephesians 2:20. The prophet proclaimed a message from the Lord to the early believers. Sometimes a prophet's message was a new revelation and the truth from God, and sometimes a prophet's message was predictive. This is what's going to happen. The early Christians did not have the complete Bible. Some early Christians did not have access to any books of the New Testament. The New Testament prophets filled the gap by proclaiming God's message to people who would not have access to it otherwise. The last book of the New Testament, Revelation, was not completed until late in the first century, so the Lord sent prophets to proclaim God's word to his people. Okay, we can agree with all this. Are there prophets today? If the purpose of a prophet was to reveal truth from God, why would we need prophets if we have a completed revelation from God in his Bible? Why would we need that? If we have all that we need, like the scripture tells us, we have everything we need for life and godliness. If prophets were foundational of the early church, are we still building the foundation today? That would be a question that he asks. If they're foundational to the early church, do we still need that foundation today, or is the foundation already laid? The answer to that is the foundation is already laid. Which brings us to our final point is this. What do we do with false teachers and false teaching? So if you have, okay, in this bag, you have people that, you know, they're not Christians. They don't even say anything about Jesus. That false teaching, cults, other religions, all of, now we have the false teachers under the Christian faith. And let me just tell you, I mean, it's so hard to weed through everything right now. So That's why you need to educate yourself, because, you know, if you, I mean, I don't know if there's bookstores anymore, but if you go on Amazon and look for Christian books and stuff, you'll find so many different books. And, you know, and the sad thing is with these publishers and everything, they just want to make money at this point. So they're just stamping this. Oh, it's Christian. It's Christian. It's Christian. You know, it says something about Jesus. It says something about God. It's Christian. And it makes it very difficult to weed through everything. So for me to stand up here and give you an entire list, which I can give you a pretty decent one, but for me to do that, it's just like almost like an effort in futility. You just need to focus your attention on God's word and what it has to say. So what do we do with false teaching? What do we do with false teachers and false teaching? Now, if someone claims they're an apostle or prophet or claims another teaching is from God, that is truth, that is not in the scripture, what do we do? Okay, what do we do if someone claims this? They're under the Christian faith, so to speak, and they claim, okay, I have this new truth, I have this. What do we do? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to check, okay? We need to check if what is taught is what is in the Word. If it contradicts the Bible, throw it out. If it agrees with the Bible, pray for wisdom and discernment on how to apply it. Chances are the teachings are not consistent with the scripture, and that's what made you think this way. I'm going to read this passage, and this is in Acts 17, 10 through 11. It says, "Brothers, immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." These were known as the Bereans, the church in Berea. And here's what they did. When they heard what Paul had to say, which, I mean, Paul has some serious authority, doesn't he? Okay. When they heard what he had to say, what'd they do? They checked. They went to the scriptures. So you hear something from me, check it out. Okay. Make sure that what I'm saying to you is actually coming from God's word and not just Mike Mrazek opinion. Okay. And sometimes I'll share my opinion and sometimes I'll say, this is my opinion. But here's the thing. When you hear a teaching, you need to check. That's your job, okay, as a Christian. That's the job of every Christian. Martin Luther said the Bible is every person's book, okay? We don't have a corner on the market. Clergy doesn't have a corner on the market, okay? We tell you what it says. If you study church history, there was a lot of that going on, and what did it result in? Corruption, okay? But chances are the teaching is not consistent with the scripture. So when you hear a teaching and it's not consistent with the scriptures, of course, this next point is so important, and that is challenge, okay? Challenge them with the scriptures that have been violated by their teaching. Just a warning to you, okay? If it's a famous person, you obviously are not going to have an opportunity to do that. You can go type online on, you know, one of those review things. They're not going to read it. But chances are, if you know somebody that's false teaching, I just want to warn you, they probably won't listen, but you could try, okay? And I've dealt with people like that. They're just so headstrong with what they're teaching. But you could try, and here's the way you do it. You share with them the word. Whatever teaching they're violating, find the scriptures and challenge them with that. And here's why I say this. We need to go to the word, and here's what you need to know, because a lot of times we struggle because we're like, well, I need a convincing argument. Like, I really need to weave things together. I really need to help them understand. Let me just tell you, God's word is where the power is. Okay? Share with them God's word. Like, you don't have a good argument because, you know, we're just people, but God's word does. In Isaiah 55, this is an Old Testament, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." And we move to the New Testament. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of the joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. and no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we might give an account. See, the scriptures are powerful. God's word is where the power is. So when we take false teaching head on, the best thing to do is combat it with what God's word says. Trying to, you know, convince, trying to debate, just bring them God's word. I am always amazed by the way that when we read God's word, hear God's word preached, teach God's word, share it with others, the power that it does. You know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I get up here and I'm like, man, people are not gonna like this. But it's in God's word. And it's amazing how it just presses upon people's heart. Whether they like it or not, God is speaking to them and helping them understand what it says and working in their lives. And you are all recipients of that at some point in your life, right? You're like, man, you know, I read this, and it's like God speaking directly to me. Now, the third thing, and this is where it gets difficult, but like, you know, when false teachers won't listen, they continue on. The third thing that we need to do is we just need to stay away, okay? Stay away. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul says this, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposes our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Not much is really known about this guy, but he's an enemy of the gospel. And he's an enemy of biblical teaching. And the interesting thing is, this guy's name is in the scriptures for all eternity. Could you imagine being Alexander the coppersmith? Okay. Stay away from Alexander the coppersmith for all eternity. Think about that. I often find it funny when you call out a false teacher by name. When you name them, they say things like, you're gossiping about me. Well, we need to name names sometimes. Stay away from that person. They're leading people down the wrong path. Stay away from that author. Stay away from that preacher. You might like 85% of what they say, but that 15% is super damaging. If they're going away from what the scripture has to teach, they're eventually going to bring you along with them. Another point under stay away, another scripture. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord by their own appetites and by smooth talk and flattery. They deceive hearts of the naive. You know, people say, oh, why, you know, these big organizations, these big churches, and, you know, they have a ton of money and this and that, and people are following them and this and that. And then we start to study their theology, and we're like, yeah, it's wrong. Well, what's their motivation? Smooth talk, flattery, deceiving hearts. And I'm not saying any big organization or any big church. I'm not saying, oh, because it's big, it's bad. That's not what I'm saying. But people will say, well, how come so many people follow? It's like, well, they were able to deceive a lot of people. That's the answer. Their motivation is themselves. And finally, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching of both the Father and the Son, whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. That kind of goes against the whole evangelism thing, doesn't it? Think about that. But what John is saying here is this, like, there are some people that are just so dangerous in what they're teaching. Just steer clear. Don't invite them in. Don't hang out with them. Stay away, because if you don't, you're taking part in their wicked works. I've had situations where people have kind of defected and started doing things that were like, you know, promoting things that were false teaching. And we were like still friends on Facebook. And I'm like, not my friend anymore. Because what do you do when you're on Facebook, right? Somebody requests friendship and then you look, you see, oh, they're mutual friends. Who is this character, you know? Oh, I must know him from high school, right? What if there's a false teacher out there that I'm friends with on Facebook, they try to friend you and they're like, must be safe, Pastor Mike's friends with him. Think about that. So I go through and I'm like, nope, not accepting that friend request. Nope, not being your friend, okay? It sounds so mean, doesn't it? But I don't want to be part of their wicked works. I don't want somebody to say, oh, I'll go to that church, Pastor Mike's friends with him. No, that guy's a heretic. He's a false teacher. I don't want to be part of those wicked works, and I don't want you to go down the wrong path. If you don't clear yourself from that person, you're taking part in their goal, which is leading other people astray. So John tells us, you know, stay away. So with that, next week, we're going to be answering questions about heaven. We've gotten a good handful of questions about heaven. If you have a question about heaven, the afterlife, write it down, throw it in the offering box, and we'll try to put those into the sermon next week. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for each person that's here this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we have true teaching from your word, not from our church, not from me, not from any other pastor, but we have your word to deal with. We have your word that tells us the way of salvation, that gives us the opportunities that we have in life to figure out how to navigate the world that we live in. So I'm thankful for that. I just pray that we would each be students of the word so that we don't fall for the manipulation of false teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.